This is called the Western Bank of the Yamuna. This bank of the Yamuna is full of Leela Stalis. The Yamuna used to flow by all these buildings, all these ashrams and temples and places of pastimes. The Yamuna was flowing there even up to 500 years ago. And we saw Madan Mohan Temple, and we saw Imli Tala, and of course there's Keshi Ghat on the left-hand side, and there's Govinda Ghat, where Krishna met the gopis again after Rasa dance, and there's Sringhar Ghat, and there's Brahmar Ghat, and there's so many ghats, so many bathing places, and so many places of pastimes here. From Madan Mohan Temple to Keshi Ghat, you could spend your entire life just meditating on those pastimes that happened there. It's a very interesting story that takes place at Imli Tala. Imli Tala is a place of Krishna's pastimes, of Radharani's pastimes, of Krishna's pastimes, of Radha and Krishna's pastimes together. And then when they come in the unified form of Rasaraj Mahabhav, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is also the place of pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Imli Tala is definitely a very topmost place of pastimes for these, because Krishna was there, Radha and Krishna were there, and Mahaprabhu were there. The following pastime, when you're hearing these narrations, you can of course look at the Yamuna. You have a choice of objects to look at. You can look at Yamunaji, or the skyline of Vrindavan, or you can look at someone you're attracted to, or you can look at the speaker, or there's also one other thing you can do. You can close your eyes and look within, antardrishti, and because everyone has japa to chant, I suppose, because the kirtan was too good to resist, too sweet to resist, and too hot to swallow. Like hot sugar cane juice. So no one could chant japa because the kirtan was too attractive. So now you get an opportunity because we're going to tell pastimes. So this is called Leela Smaran. Chant the holy name, close your eyes, and meditate on the pastimes, and try to bring the pastimes of Radha and Krishna into your heart through the medium of surrendered chanting and pure chanting. And by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga and Sri Namprabhu, these same pastimes that you're hearing today, they may be replayed in your mind and heart on future days when you chant japa, if you actually capture these pastimes with a heart filled with surrender and a mind filled with service. So I want to introduce the translator. This one very nice devotee's name is Sriman Paratattvadas Prabhu. Sriman Paratattvadas Prabhu Ki. Because it's told in Narayan Bhatta Goswami's Braj Bhakti Vilas that there are 10 offenses to the holy Dham, which are very analogous, or they run parallel to the 10 offenses to the holy name. And one of the offenses is to show disregard or to make offenses to the guru who reveals the holy Dham to you. So in this case, for the Russian folks, let's say, or the Russian devotees, Sriman Paratattva Prabhu is acting today as the Tirth, what they call Tirth Guru. He's revealing the holy Dham to you. So we're very fortunate to have his darshan, and we should hold him in high regard and listen with all attention and respect and full feeling of devotion. I don't know if you want to translate that. It's very difficult to have to speak about yourself. But this is proper. This is as much respect as we show towards Guru, as much love and appreciation we have towards Guru, that's as much respect, love, and appreciation we have for Krishna. During one kalpa, or one day of Brahma, Radharani left the rasa dance. Krishna went searching for Radharani, but he could not find her. So he sat under this tree, which is over there, Imli Tala. So Krishna, he sat under there, under that tree. He was all by himself. He was very unhappy. He was very much missing Radharani. He walked out. He didn't care anything for thousands and millions of gopis that were assembled on the banks of the Yamuna for rasa dance. And as he sat under the tree with his head in his hands, he lost himself in remembering a very sweet pastime that he himself had seen there. First, he started remembering the form and beauty of Srimati Radhika. It's very interesting in this description of Varaha Samhita that Krishna himself, when he begins remembering his beloved, he starts meditating on her form. It's called Rup Dhyan. Krishna was sitting here because this was a very special place. Imlitala is very dear to Srimati Radharani. Previously, after Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, Indra and all the demigods, they came and they bathed Krishna at Govinda Kund. A short time later, Purnamasi and the other gopis arranged for an even bigger abhishek, because the lady always wants to outdo the man. So the wife wants to do something better than the husband. So Krishna had a big abhishek at Govinda Kund with all the Indra and Brahma and Shiva, and mostly also Devis were there. But then Purnamasi said, wait a minute, Radharani should not be left out of this. So she had an even bigger abhishek and coronation ceremony. And this particular kalpa, it was held here at Imlitala. And all the devis and demigoddesses of heaven, they came there. And they coronated Radharani as Vrindavaneshwari, the queen of Vrindavan. Because they were very upset. The gopis were thinking, how is it possible that Radharani can be outdone by Krishna? So all the wives of the demigods came for this royal Maha Abhishek, which was held at Imlitala. Krishna's sister, whose name is Yogamaya, she was appointed to offer the coronation garland to Radharani, which signifies that she would be anointed or coronated as the queen of Vrindavan. Just at that time, Krishna heard so much music being played and heard the voices of ladies making this sound, like this, like they do. And he was attracted there to Imlitala. What's going on? What's going on? And he came there, he's looking through the bushes, and he saw, oh, all the sakis are here. Radharani is sitting on a very beautiful asan under this Imli tree, and it appears some function of royalty is going on here. So then Krishna stepped into the assembly. Now, at the appointed time, Yogamaya was holding the garland, the flower garland, in her hand. And then she was thinking, oh, I'm supposed to put this garland on Radharani to coronate her or make her the queen or recognize her as the queen of Vrindavan. But now my brother is here. Shamsundar has come. So then she walked towards Shamsundar to put the garland on him. So then Krishna personally took the garland from Yogamaya. Then he walked very slowly towards Radharani. And he stepped up on there was a few steps in front of the asan. He stepped and very carefully and beautifully, he draped the garland around Radharani's neck. And then all the sakis, they chanted, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Bolo, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. So Krishna himself, here at Imlitala, proclaimed forevermore that Srimati Radharani, and only Srimati Radharani, is Vrindavaneshwari, the one and only queen and controller and ruler of Sridham Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani ki! Yeah. So now this is when Krishna, to recapitulate, Krishna was searching for Radharani. She left the rasa dance. He came to Imlitala. He sat under the tree, Imli tree, tamarind tree, in reverie, sweet reverie. And he was there and feeling great separation and remembering this pastime of Radharani's royal Abhishek, Raj Abhishek, or Rajani, I suppose. Rajani? Rani. Rani Abhishek. And then, while he was remembering that, he was specifically meditating on the form and beauty of Srimati Radharani. Then his beautiful Shamsundar body turned brilliant golden color. And you can start thinking about what this means. So now Krishna is absorbed, completely entered a deep trance of samadhi, Radha Rup Samadhi, absorbed and meditating on Radharani's sweet form. Now Radharani, she has given up her mood of indifference or contrary mood, and she has collected a few of her sakis, and now she's searching for Krishna. And she's wandering here and there, along the banks of the Yamuna, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. Then finally, they see this beautiful golden effulgence emanating from a grove of trees. As they come closer, they see that lying under this tamarind tree, apparently in a state of a stupor, or a state of, you can say, stunned or samadhi, there's some golden form. Maybe it's another gopi. They only see from the back, they see this beautiful golden form lying under the tree in long hair, long, beautiful, black, wavy hair lying over his shoulder, the very beautiful golden form and figure. And the gopis look at each other and say, who is that? Who is that gopi? Who is that golden, beautiful, golden queen lying under the tamarind tree? The gopis and Radhika moved closer and closer. And as they got closer, they understood, oh, this is not a gopi. This is not a sakhi. This is some beautiful man. This, perhaps, perchance, this is some golden demigod. Maybe his flower airplane crashed and he landed here under this tree. Or maybe, and they were speculating, could this be Cupid personified, who has become intoxicated and lying under this tree for some unknown reason? And then the gopis were looking at Radharani and they were feeling some extraordinary attraction and excitement racing through their hearts. And they were thinking, how could no demigod can create this reaction within our minds and hearts? And certainly Cupid has no effect on us. There's only one Cupid that has any effect on us. And that's the transcendental Cupid, Kamadev, Govinda, Krishna. So then Radharani bent down next to this person's ear and she said, Shyam, 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 are you all right? And then Shyamasundar slowly opened his eyes and looked at Radharani's eyes. And then everyone understood that this is Krishna. This person is Krishna. Now this is a very perplexing situation. So Srimati Radharani, she asked, oh Shyamasundar, what was this unique form that you were displaying? This golden form of yourself, looking like me. I'm most mystified and enchanted. Who is this? And then Krishna sat Radhika next to him. He said, actually, very shortly, very, very soon, in the beginning of Kali Yuga, I will appear in Sridham Mayapur at the Yogapit, and I will take your complexion and your mood, your bhav and kanti, and I will appear with a beautiful golden form, and my name will be Gauranga. Gauranga! And I will travel the length and breadth of India, from north to south and east and west, and I will tell everyone, everywhere, about your glories, and I will teach everyone and show everyone the intensity of your Mahabhav and your beautiful love that you have for me, that no one could ever love me as much as you or have such pure love as you. This I will advertise and spread throughout the world in the beginning of Kali Yuga. So, absorbing myself in you, I was remembering you and I turned into that form. So here, I've revealed my future form as Lord Gauranga.
Gauranga!
Gauranga!
Thank you. So now that's Radharani's pastime and Krishna's pastime. Now Gauranga Leela. When Lord Chaitanya came and stayed for 2 months in Vrindavan, he was touring first he went to Vishramghat in Mathura, and took bath there and took darshan of Keshavji at the Janamstan. And then he toured the 12 forests of Braj. And he came here, or rather, he settled up in Akruragat, which is a very lonely and quiet place, just at the border of Vrindavan. Border of Vrindavan and Mathura, Akruragat. And every day, Lord Chaitanya would come here to Imlital and sit under the tamarind tree and chant the Maha Mantra. Looking at Kalindi, the beautiful bluish waters of Kalindi, reminding him of Shyamasundar, because Krishna's in Radhabhav, searching for Krishna. So seeing Krishna in the waters of the Yamuna, and then sitting under the Imlital tree, Lord Chaitanya would absorb himself in Krishna's pastimes, Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela. The perfection of japa, pure chanting of the holy name, absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. And why Lord Chaitanya was chanting japa and remembering this Imlitala Leela, then his beautiful golden form, he transformed into Shamsundar. Because he's Radharani searching for Krishna. So under Imlitala tree, Lord Chaitanya in Radhabhav, he found Krishna in the pastimes. So he became so much absorbed in the pastime that he himself turned a beautiful bluish color.
Called Jaru Mandal.
Jaru means broom, the broom circle, the circle of the broom. This is a very interesting pastime. There's a very large tree still there today. It's a jamu tree, which produces very dark bluish black fruits, jamu, which are, let's say, katamitai. What is it? Katamita. Anyway, it means it's bitter and sweet, just like life. This fruit represents life itself. Some mostly bitter, but there's some sweet also there. Katamitai. Mita. So this marks the spot. This is the spot where Krishna disappeared from Radharani. We read in the Krishna book in 10th canto that Radharani was walking with Krishna along the banks from Vamshibhat. They were walking along the banks of Jamuna and they came here. It was quite a long walk through Keshigat, through all this area. And they got to that tree, then Radharani said, "Oh, Sham, I'm very tired, my legs are sore, and I walked all the way here from Varsana, and I'm very tired. Please, can you carry me?" Then Krishna said, "Certainly, whatever your wish is my command." So then Krishna, he bowed down so she could get on his shoulders. And as soon as Radharani tried to step on Krishna's shoulders, he disappeared. And that's where it was, right there, where that pale blue building is near that silver boat. So what happened, because that's such a holy place, that tree is still there commemorating it, that many, it's called Jarumandal, because the whole area was always swept but with a broom so that many devotees could sit down there and hear about Krishna's pastimes. Because Leela Stalis are surcharged with Leela Shakti. So when you sit in a Leela Stali and you hear about Krishna's pastimes, it's very powerful. But unfortunately, very few Leela Stalis can accommodate 300 people. but at any rate, a handful of devotees would sit there and they would hear about Krishna's pastimes. So this pastime that happened here, of course that was 5,000 years ago, but about 150 years ago, in very, very recent history, the devotees, as they gather even today at Sevakunj and Imlital and Sringaravat and have Harikatha, so 150 years ago, many Vaishnavas were sitting there in Jarumandal, the circular area that was swept regularly with a broom, Jaru, and they were hearing the Harikatha, and they were meditating, absorbing themselves in the pastimes, and nearby, in one small house, there was one old lady, and she used to make her living with her chakki. She had a chakki, and chakki is a hand-propelled grain grinder. Two stones, right? One bottom, one top. Put the grains in. So she would. She's an old lady, so she would throw in some grains and make flour. Like this. And grind the flour. And this noise, as you can understand, it was very disturbing to our Leela Smaran. So the devotees were sitting there and they were feeling some disturbance. Why is this lady, doesn't she have any brain? You know, she's disturbing our Leela Katha. And we all were hearing this, rawr, rawr, rawr. How are we supposed to hear Krishna's flute coming through this Leela Katha when this lady's making this terrible sound? So Krishna, he always is looking for an opportunity to serve his loving devotees. And there's nothing more satisfying to the heart of Krishna, nothing more pleasing to the heart of Krishna and Radha, than to see that his devotees are sitting down somewhere in Vrindavan hearing about his glories. This gives him so much happiness and so much pleasure. It's a very easy and passive way to give the greatest happiness to Krishna. Sit down, tune in, turn on, and drop out. to tune in your ears to the Harikatha. And Krishna is so happy. He's smiling. You can understand when devotees sit together in Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, or Vrindavan, and they hear about Krishna and Gauranga's pastimes, that the Lord is sitting right above everyone's head smiling. He's sitting right above everyone's head smiling. Yes, yes. Go on and on. Or. Makes him so happy. And because he's happy and smiling over our heads, then we naturally walk away from any session of Harikatha or Gauranga Katha feeling very satisfied and very happy. So Krishna was seeing that the devotees assembled for the Harikatha, they were feeling disturbance, they were unhappy. So then he came, he entered the house, he appeared in the house of that old flour-grinding lady. Flour grinder. Atawali. The Atawali. And she was so absorbed, she didn't even notice that Krishna had appeared in her house. And then she was really into her work and counting, oh, now I have a half a kilo, 1 rupee. Now I have 1 kilo, 2 rupees. Now I have 1.5 kilo, 3 rupees. She was counting her kilos and counting her rupees. This is business. Like any Agarwal, he'll think, oh, I sold 2 dhotis. That's 50 rupees profit. Okay. Every moment to moment, they're calculating profit loss. So then Krishna, to get his attention, he put his lotus foot on her grinding wheel. Then he pushed down. And Krishna, of course, has all the weight of the universe. So there's no way that she can keep grinding when the whole universe is on top of her grinding stone. So her grinding stone came to what they call a grinding halt. A grinding halt. It's an American expression, but it is an interesting play on words. Her grinding stone came to a grinding halt. Band ho gaya. It stopped. So then she said, hey, what are you doing? And she looked up, oh my God, it's Bhagavan. So then after recovering from her surprise, then she said, and Krishna's foot is still there, and then she couldn't move her grinding stone, and she said, hey, Ari, hey, Bhagavan, if you keep your foot there, then how am I going to make any money? I can't grind any flour. How can I make any money, feed all my crying babies and my husband and everyone? It's not possible. And he said, listen, you're disturbing the devotees who are trying to hear the Harikatha. Just like we were in Puri, we were having Harikatha. And some Indian man came, and he was sort of disturbing, not much. Then a pujari came out of the temple. He started slapping. He beat him up. He said, hey, they're having Harikatha. And he slapped it. The guy said, hey, what are you doing? He said, get out from here. He just slapped him right in front, drove him out. So she said, how will I make a living? And Krishna said, listen, from this day forward, I'm going to leave the impression of my footprint. The impression of my lotus footprint will be embedded in your grinding stone for time evermore. And what will happen is people will hear about this, that Krishna, that you had Sakshat Darshan of me, and I left my footprint here, Charan Chinha. And then people will come from far and wide to take Darshan of your stone, and everyone who comes and sees, they'll drop a few rupees. And this way, without grinding any more grains and disturbing the Harikatha and all the Vaishnavas, you'll make sufficient living and everything will be A-okay. So then that happened, and you can go there. That it's called Jaru Mandal, and you can see that grinding stone even today, and you can see Krishna's footprint, and they bathe every day with water, and you can take the Charanamrita, Krishna Charanamrit, and if we go and visit that place, then we'll no more be involved with the daily grind. You can see that tall structure in the background, the tallest structure with some three little statues there and arches. If you come forward, take a line forward and come, and then come forward to the bank of the Yamuna, then you'll see some red dome. Yes. That's called Govindaghat. This place is described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in Rasa Panchadya, chapters 29, 10th canto, chapter 29 through 33, the Rasa dance. After Krishna left the Rasa dance, gopis were thrown into an ocean of separation, and they cried out to him in their Prem Sankirtan, which is called Gopi Geet, Tavakatamritam Tapta Jivanam, and so many beautiful prayers. And they were searching here and everywhere and asking everyone and everything, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, have you seen Krishna? And finally, when they got to that place called Govinda Ghat, they had darshan of Govinda. So it's, you can see, you can read the description there. And the gopis were so happy to meet again with Krishna. They took off their shawls, or they said shawls, but they, whatever cloth they had here, some like chadar, they took off their shoulders and they folded it on the ground, as we sometimes, someone gives us asan. So they folded it on the ground on the banks of the Jamuna, and they said, oh Krishna, please sit here. And then they had a discussion about what is the nature of pure love. The gopis asked Krishna some questions. What kind of lover are you? Are you the kind of lover that receives love but doesn't give love in return? Or are you the kind of lover that receives love and also gives love in return? Or are you the kind of lover that receives love and doesn't care anything about what people do? And then Krishna says, no, I'm a fourth category of lover. This is what we're looking for. We're trying to understand the nature of pure love. Kevala Prem or Kanta Prem or the Shuddha Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, pure Bhakti. So the gopis, through the mouth of Krishna, through their line of questioning, Krishna himself revealed the nature of his pure love right here at Govinda Ghat. And Krishna was saying, no, what I'm doing, I'm the kind of lover that I wait and I watch. And I'm watching to see how intense is your love, what is the purity of your love, what is the depth of your love, what is the sincerity of your love. And when I'm satisfied, I'm right there, I'm not very far away, I'm nearby, I'm watching you. I was right when you were searching here and there, I was walking beside each of you. And I was monitoring. I was monitoring your hearts and your heartbeat. I was monitoring the beat of your prem heart. And I was observing, she has so much love for me. She has so much intensity, so much purity. I was there. I was not away from you. But I want to bring your love to a certain intensity. Because I could relish it. Milk is nice, but burfi is better. Everyone likes burfi? Burfi ki jai. We don't have to translate, right? Burfi ki jai. Mahaprasad burfi ki jai. Let's make sure it's Mahaprasad. So now, see, we're here looking there. We're hearing about it, and maybe we can cross back over there. If we're lucky, we can cross over the river and then have a chance to serve these pastimes. So over there, and there's a few little domes, white and right near Govinda Ghat, and there's a collection of domes, and if you can see clearly, if you really have good vision, there's a bunch of little pieces of clothes hanging in one tree. At least anybody is a cousin of Garuda, they can see. But anyway, that's called Chirgat. Chir means cloth. So that's a place where Krishna stole the... It's one time where Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis, Chirgat. You'll see this beautiful deity of Krishna, black deity of Krishna, sitting in a tree. When we go back, you can probably see, have darshan. And many yatris come there, pilgrims come there. And it's a kadamba tree, Kaili Kadamba, as usual. So once during the rasa dance, all the gopis, they were feeling very tired and very fatigued. So they came down there with Krishna, obviously, to take a bath. So they all went to take a bath, and then Krishna went in the water, and then he went under the water, and he disappeared, and he came out on another place in the bank. So they couldn't find Krishna. There's actually a couple pastimes, but this one is there. So then the gopis were bathing with Krishna in one moment, then Krishna disappeared. So they were becoming very disturbed, where is Krishna? And then one gopi said, oh, I think he went out on the bank. He got cold. He was cold, it's nighttime, maybe he's cold, he went out to change. So then the gopi said, all right, let's go. Let's go out of the bank. Let's put our clothes on. Then they went out on the bank. Hey, where's our clothes? And they couldn't find their clothes, and they couldn't find Krishna. So they're in a terrible position. No clothes and no Krishna. So the gopis were coming, you can understand, very disturbed because the whole reason they came there in the middle of the night was to associate with Krishna. And now they lost Krishna's association. So they couldn't stay there because they only came there to be with Krishna and to serve him. But they couldn't leave either because they didn't have any clothes. So they were in a terrible predicament. They had no service. So then Krishna was seeing, oh, they're very much disturbed. So then he was, because he had hidden all the clothes by his power, mystic power. So they couldn't see Krishna in the tree. So then Krishna started dropping the clothes from the tree like rain. The gopis say, oh, here's my sari. And then, oh, here's mine. And their clothes, the saris are falling from the tree, but they're not seeing Krishna. This book has never been published. But it's there. It's called Gopi Premamrita, which is a very nice name of a book. This is by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. I can do it, thanks. So one day, this is a daytime pastime. It's called Vasana Chorya Leela. Means stealing the gopis' clothes. One day Radharani called all the Braja gopis to go collect water in pots from the Yamuna. And they were very anxious to see the face of Damodar. All the Braja gopis set off from their homes with their gentle pattering feet. They held the empty pots on their hips with their delicate arms, and they swayed back and forth, as sometimes you see in the village. They put the pot here, and they hold a pot like this, and they, or two pots even, and they walk. So Gopal is, Bhatta Goswami is giving very minute description. And they smiled gently as they sang the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. Because they were also crying, they started slipping and stumbling due to their ecstatic remembrance of Krishna. Finally, they came here to this place, and they entered the Yamuna and filled their pots with water. Meanwhile, Krishna was hiding in the kunjas, observing everything. So Krishna, he made a very special voice, a very high-pitched voice, and he made an announcement, something like an Akashvani, an aerial voice. I don't know how high I can go here, but... Anyway, he said, oh, doe-eyed gopis, don't bathe in the Yamuna. Oh, I forgot. After they filled their water pots, the gopis put them on the Yamuna. Then, as per the custom in those days, gopis took off all their clothes and they put on the banks of the Yamuna. Then they started to enter the water to bathe. Then Krishna, from his hiding place, he made this high-pitched voice. He said, oh, gopis, don't bathe in the Yamuna. Quickly come out and get dressed. That coward boy is coming here to steal your clothes. By yoga maya, Krishna became invisible. The gopis came out of the Yamuna and they searched everywhere. But they couldn't find anyone in any direction. So they thought it was safe. So they took off their clothes. I guess they still had them on. They took off their clothes and they entered the Yamuna. Needless to say, Krishna was watching everything. Krishna climbed the kadamba tree with all the clothes of the gopis over his arm, and he was watching them with great joy. Later, Radharani noticed that all the clothes of the gopis were missing from the riverbank, and she commented to the sakis, oh, who stole our clothes? Our superiors have forbidden us many times from coming here. Now what will we say if we return with no clothes? Alas, I am reaping the fruits of disobeying my superiors. We will never hear the end of this. Moving toward the shore, Radharani noticed Madhav in the branches of the kadamba tree, and she said, you tricky boy! You've hidden our clothes! Don't tease us by such nonsense acts! If King Kamsa hears about this, you will be in big trouble. Krishna had decorated his hair with kadamba flowers, and he took his flute and played an enchanting tune. And very nonchalantly leaned against the tree. He looked very beautiful, with long curly locks and dancing eyebrows. He fully captured the hearts of the Braja gopis. Krishna laughed slightly as the gopis moved slowly toward the tree with great excitement. The gopis were giggling, their limbs were shaking, and their faces were looking down in embarrassment. So then the gopis said, oh Krishna, be kind. Please return our clothes. If King Kans hears this, he'll be very angry. Then Krishna said, What do I care? That king is powerless. If you want your clothes, you have to come and collect them yourselves.
Krishna draped the clothes of the gopis over his shoulder. He came down the tree and he stood in front of them and he said, "Now, stretch out your hands and take your clothes." And the gopis were using their hands and their hair to cover all their private parts due to shyness.
And as it's the same description is there in the Bhagavatam. This is the same in Gopal. He said, "Not like that. Stand with your legs straight and stand." And he doesn't talk about the offense, but he says, "Stretch out your hand, stretch out both your hands, stand with your legs straight." And by this time the gopis were figuring, we have no recourse. And they're all bumps all over their skin, and they were trembling, and they were just thinking, Krishna's playing with us like a little toy doll. So then each gopi came forward, and Krishna gave each gopi a tight hug and a kiss. Slight variation from the Bhagavatam. This is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He gave their clothes, and then he gave each one a hug and a kiss. And then they indicated by their eye movements, they communicated that they would very much like to meet Krishna in a secret kunj that night, because this was the daytime. So then all the gopis, with their lotus flower faces, returned to their homes, with their pots full of water and their hearts full of love.
So is everyone seeing this pastime?
Maybe you shouldn't see this pastime. But this is the idea that Krishna's pastimes are full of sweetness. And living, as we mentioned, about this jamu fruit, it's katha mitai or whatever it is, mita, it's bittersweet. So mostly our experience in this material world fills our heart with lots of bitterness, lots of doubts, lots of bitterness, lots of suspicion. So Krishna has specifically come to this world to shower sweetness upon the world. Krishna is known as Madhurya Purushottam, Leela Purushottam. Krishna's leelas, Krishna's pastimes are drenched and dripping in sweetness. Madhuram, madhuram, madhuram. So by repeatedly drinking the sweet nectar, madhur ras, of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, then this is the natural antidote that can counteract all the bitterness in our heart. The more we drink, just for example, if you have a cup of bitterness, you have a whole cup of bitterness, entire cup is filled, then you have a whole pot of sweet liquid. So as you pour the sweet liquid into the cup of bitter liquid, it displaces the bitter liquid. The bitter liquid comes out. Because the force of the sweet liquid going in, the bitter liquid comes out. Then what's left in that vessel, that container, is nothing but sweetness, sweet liquid. So the vessel of our heart is like a container full of bitter ras, kata ras. But by repeatedly pouring in the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, all that bitterness will come out and our hearts will fill with the sweetness that we're hankering for. Srila Prabhupada ki. We want to explain, let's say read or whatever, this description of two words. One is Leela and the other is Srila. Because the word Srila can be used to, we say, Srila Gurudev or Srila Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki. Srila Niranjan Swami Maharaj ki. And so many other Maharajas ki. Because Russia is a big place and there's thousands of devotees and you have so many different beloved Gurudevs. So please forgive me if I haven't mentioned them. But we'll just say Srila Gurudev ki. So what is the meaning of Leela and what is the meaning of Srila? Because we often say, oh, this is Krishna Leela, this is Gaur Leela. Or sometimes we say, it's my Leela. I'm having my Leela. Or some brahmachari is having his Leela. Or some sannyasi or whatever, whomever. So we want to look at a close look at these words, Leela and Srila. So we take the word Leela. Like we say, Julan Leela, Jal Leela, Jal Keli Leela, Ras Leela. Everyone's heard the Kirtan Leela, Sankirtan Leela. Many, many Leelas are there. Bhojan Leela. So first, this word, in Sanskrit, these words are often broken down. They're a combination of different words or parts of words. So lila, at least this is how our acharyas explain. Lila, the first part, li, L-I, li. Li comes from a word alingita. Alingita means to embrace, to caress, to embrace. And la means to accept. So when you put the two together, it means to accept the embrace. So it depends on which lila you want to look at. But if you look at Krishna's Madhurya lila, or his conjugal pastimes with the gopis, lila means those pastimes in which Krishna accepts the embraces of the gopis. So then, if you look at Sakiras, or the pastimes of Krishna with the coward boys, and Sakyalila, then those lilas, that's where Krishna embraces or accepts li. He accepts the embraces of Sridham and Subal, of his coward friends. They're embracing and wrestling and embracing together. And then the same is there in Vatsali Lila. That's where Krishna accepts the loving embraces of Yashodama and Nandababa and Rohini and the other ladies that act like his mother. Now what about our Lila? It's quite a Lila. Our Lila, we're in a Lila of Krishna called Srishti Lila. This is Srishti. Srishti means creation. Krishna has made this creation and we're in it. Deeply in it. And so we have an opportunity also in this Srishti or this creation to accept the loving embrace of Krishna. Prabhupada made a funny comment once. He said that the devotee said, Prabhupada, disciples complaining or voicing his mind to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I'm so much in Maya, I can't get free from Maya. Maya is just holding me. And Prabhupada said, yes, you say Maya is holding you, but it's actually like this. You go out to a tree, you go out to a big tree, and you wrap your arms around the tree, and you're holding the tree. And then someone's going walks by and says, what are you doing? He says, oh, this tree is holding me. This tree won't let me go. This tree is holding me, won't let me go. So the question is, is Maya holding us or are we holding Maya? So Guru enters our life to tell us to stop embracing Maya. Let go of Maya and embrace Krishna. Embrace the lotus feet of Guru, Sri Guru Parashraya. Begin by embracing Guru's lotus feet, by surrender, Atma Samarpan, Guru Pad Ashraya. Take shelter at the Guru's feet and then he will introduce you to Krishna. And Krishna is such an affectionate friend, such an intimate personality, that when he meets someone, he immediately likes to embrace them. And he's searching, as our one Prabhupada's godbrother wrote one book, Loving Search for the Lost Servant. So Krishna is searching for his servants, and he's waiting to embrace each and every one of us. As soon as we turn our face towards Krishna and show a friendly attitude of surrender and service, then he'll greet us with open arms and wrap us in a loving, tight, loving embrace. Sri Krishna ki. Jai. So this word, now this is lila. Does everyone understand meaning of lila? Right. Now we'll describe the meaning of Srila. Because we all have our beloved Srila Gurudev. And we're trying to embrace our beloved Srila Gurudev's instructions. We're trying to embrace his instructions heart to heart. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Chitete Koriya Aikya. Chit Aikya. To make our consciousness one with the Guru Mukh. To make our consciousness one with the words of Guru means Prema Lingata. You can only become one with someone when you join with them. Two become one when the two join. So we have to join our hearts and our minds with the words of Guru. That's called Prema Lingata, a loving embrace. So we first embrace the Guru by embracing his instructions, his heart to our heart, heart to heart. Take his instructions deep into our heart and try to carry them out. That is embracing the Guru. So let's hear what, this will take about 2 more minutes and we'll tell a pastime. So I know you may be eager for pastimes. And after a full meal in philosophy, it's a good combination to go to sleep. And everyone has full permission to sleep. Vrindavan is the land of love. In love there are no rules, and in rules there is no love. So Srila, So Jiva Goswami in Tattva Sandarbha, he gives a definition of this word Srila. So it behooves us to understand it clearly because it directly applies to every one of us, because each one of us has our Srila Gurudev, whomever he may be. So he defines, he says the word Srila means transcendental knowledge, renunciation, devotional service, and Krishna prema. This is what we want in a spiritual master. Transcendental knowledge, renunciation, devotional service, and Krishna prema. Therefore, we call Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada, because he has all of these qualities in unlimited proportion.
So,
if we put this together, now we look at another, we break this word. We know that La, as in Lila, La means to accept. And Shri, we say Srila, Gurudev. So Shri means, of course, the goddess of fortune, Srimati Lakshmi Devi. Shri also means beauty, opulence, splendor, effulgence. But Shri, in regards to our Gurudev, in Gaudiya Parampara, Srila means this. Shri means Srimati Radharani. So we put the word together. So Srila means that guru who takes the disciple to the lotus feet of Sri Radha.
Right behind that is Sringhar Vat. Vat means banyan tree. So we're going to read a pastime about that.
So this word Sringhar means ornamentation or decoration. We say we have Sringhar Artik, 7 o'clock in the morning. The pujaris labor very intensely to decorate Radha and Krishna and Radha Madhava very beautifully. And then we take the darshan, Sringhar, seeing their ornamentation and beautiful dresses every morning. If anyone has an opportunity, they can go behind. There's a building there. Behind that tree, you go inside the building. It's a Gaurani Thai temple. And there's a remnant of the original banyan tree there. And then there's a small temple there where Krishna is brushing Radharani's hair. Very beautiful painting to commemorate the Leela there. But actually, as many places in Braj, Krishna would frequent these places and have pastimes there with the gopis and also with the gopas, with the coward boys and the coward girls. So once he collected over there with all his coward boyfriends, they bathed, they brought the cows to the Yamuna, the cows drank the water from the Yamuna, then the boys played and drank water, and then they went there to underneath that beautiful banyan tree. So after they came out of the water, they collected under the banyan tree, then all the different coward boys, they ran here and there and collected some different colored dirts, some different color clay, yellow and reddish and brown and different colors. And then they collected some peacock feathers and some wild flowers and some leaves, and they all took turns decorating Krishna. So it's called Sringhar Vat because this is a place where the coward boys decorated Krishna in a very beautiful way. The reason they installed Gaurani Thai deities there is because in the same place in Sringhar Vat, 500 years ago, while Lord Nityananda was on pilgrimage throughout India, he was waiting for Nimai Pandit to enter or initiate his Sankirtan Leela pastimes. So Nittai was traveling and he came to Vrindavan. This is one of the last places he stayed in Vrindavan before returning to Nandanacharya's house in Mayapur. And when he was staying there, he went to Sringhar Vat and he was remembering these different pastimes. So that's why they have a deity. So Nittai was staying there and he was rolling on the ground and he was calling out, Krishna Kaniya, Krishna Kaniya, where is my brother, where is my brother? Sometimes Nittai was rolling in the dust, sometimes he was running here and there in ecstatic feelings and would decorate himself. And then in this mood of feeling great separation from Nimai or from his brother Krishna, he was rolling in the dust over there in this Sringhar Vat. And then he heard an Akashvani. He heard a voice in the sky. It said, oh, you're Nimai, you're Krishna. He has appeared. And he has begun his Sankirtan Leela. And he's waiting for you. You should go and join him. So then Nittai, he immediately left this place. From this place, Sringhar Vat, he went from there to meet with Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur, and who is Krishna for him. And then they started the Sankirtan movement. So after Nittai had so many beautiful pastimes there, which are described in Bhakti Ratnakar, then that place became known as, at least as far as we're concerned, in recent history. It's known as Nityananda Vat, rather than Shringhar Vat. It's Nityananda Vat. And this is a very important place for us to go and try to collect some of the dust from Nityananda's feet. His dust is, of his feet is sprinkled there, and the beautiful pastime is also there, which we'll describe.